Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Hey up, we're back from our hiatus. We weren't here for a week. We'll blame Aid being a pisshead on his birthday, which is fair enough, and Jono having a reaction to his COVID jab. As the reason. Don't know where Jono is tonight, do we, dude? He's meant to be joining us, but I think he's probably swimming in schoolwork, the poor guy. So we're back. We'll try and catch up on a few things and just try and make up for a week where you guys haven't had to listen to us three Muppets, to be fair. As always, before we get going, and we best give him an extra big shout out, seeing as we missed a week. To our supporters, Woodstock Cricket. Obviously, if you want to get yourself some new kit for the rest of the season, or you just basically fancy treating yourself, because why not? Get yourselves on Woodstock Cricket's website, use our discount code THIRDMAN25, treat yourself. There's plenty of stuff in, softs, bats, hoodies, all kinds of stuff, even if it's just a new set of stickers and grip for your back. Go on there, have a look at that. Obviously, we're still trying to raise money for CRY, for cardiac risk in the young, so we've got plenty of bat stickers. Give us a bell if you want some of them. We'll get them to you ASAP. Right, dude, I haven't spoken 2 weeks. Well, I haven't spoken 2 weeks and recorded what we were saying. We spoke on Saturday night, but I don't think that would be repeatable on,
what,
on
a podcast. What, when you got sprinkler down your polo?
Oh, yeah, when we were slightly inebriated, shall we say. How are we, Marmite?
I'm all right, mate. I'm just filling my face full of Sport Mix.
Nice, classic choice.
Oh, he's booted.
Just in time.
Well, it looks like he's about to do Football Manager in the final, man.
Yeah, so I thought with the competition was good between the lads today and good performance. We're really happy with the positivity and most importantly, happy to take away the 3 points.
I think I have a response to that, Johnny. I'll be honest, well, that was a good impression. I guess the only place to start is the fact that England's squad has had to be completely changed. 3 players, 4 staff, got COVID. Everyone else has got to isolate. So, let's be honest. We've had to change the squad completely. Ben Stokes, who yesterday, according to Trey Morgan, they weren't going to take any risks with because he's only just coming back from injury. They don't want to push him straight up from a couple of county champ games straight into international cricket. He's back as captain because we've got no fucker else. David Milan, maybe he knew. Maybe he was the one who gave the others COVID and decided to get out quick, personal reasons, got himself out quick. So he's been able to stay in, join this new squad. And then there's lots and lots of new faces. Do you want me to run through very quickly who we've got?
You can, but I don't know half of them are.
Well, obviously, as I say, we've got Stokes and Milan. A couple of other faces that people will obviously know from the white ball is James Bintz. Got Matt Parkinson, Craig Overton, David Payne, a new face, Phil Salt, John Simpson, Saqib Mahmood, Dan Lawrence, Jake Ball, Danny Briggs, Bryden Carr, Zach Crawley, Ben Duckett, Lewis Gregory, Tom Hallam, and Will Jacks. Any of them names that you're looking forward to seeing?
Yes.
Ben Stokes.
Ben Stokes. Will Jacks.
Matt Parkinson and Saqib Mahmood.
Yeah.
Just Lancashire boys. I can't wait to see Vince at a lovely 14.
Lovely, yeah. 30 then get
featuring,
out. Let's be fair.
Featuring 3 boundaries. 14, yeah. 6 with 3 fours. I'm predicting.
Who's this Bryden Carr? Because someone on Twitter's predicted he will be in the team.
Seamit from Durham.
Quick.
Meant to be quick. Bit erratic, but quick by all accounts. Not seeing him other than on those highlight stream things.
How has Zach Crawley got in?
That was going to be my one point. And obviously, I'm sure we'll mention in a minute about the fact Alex Hale still doesn't get in. But Sam Hain, obviously, how on earth he doesn't get in when he has got the best first class record, or List A record, is it, sorry, ever, of all time?
In cricket history, of all time.
Yeah, of all time.
59 points, I'm into.
He averages basically 60 with anyone from a minimum of 50 innings. It's the best ever.
Yeah.
People are saying about his strike rate, but his strike rate is like 80 odd. But
yeah, he's a proper player.
If
he gets 100 off, what does Joe Root do? Joe Root gets 100 off anywhere between 80 and 120 balls, somewhere in between the two. There's a spot for someone like a Sam Hain, isn't there? A squad. I'll tell you what, I don't think there is, though. I don't think there's a spot inside for a David Milan and a Sam Hain, but surely you've got...
Yeah, but Sam Hain's better.
Well, surely you just pick both and give one of them one game and one of them two games. That would be mine.
There's a spot for someone like Sam Hain in every single side, in my opinion.
Quick one.
That's it. He's just a proper player.
Quick one on, obviously, saying about Zach Crawley. Sam Hain... Matt, I have a strike rate of 80. I'm pretty sure I've heard today that Zach Crawley averages something like 30 or something like that, probably half of what Sam Hain does. And he goes at a strike rate of about 70, yet Zach Crawley's been picked. Does that suggest that they keep going on about the youth stats and the white ball cricket, but is it not are we not necessarily picking people based on stats? Because I would say Zach Crawley is one name there who probably does not deserve to be in on any form of stats.
I saw someone earlier said something like he must have a picture of one of the selectors fucking the dog or something like that.
Oh, nice.
That's wow. Why he's in.
Bit of Keith Lard. That's what we like to do. I'll be honest, I'm interested to see Will Jacks, like you said, dude. I think Ben Duckett is someone who could get himself back in England squad. I think Dan Lawrence will be really good in white ball cricket. Phil Salt, I don't know, he's an interesting one. Does really well in the Blast, hasn't done so well in the Big Bash. Will he be? I'm assuming he'll be one of probably the openers, to be fair, looking at that squad. Yeah,
I think he might open with Duckett.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't.
I reckon Bent will open.
You think?
With Salt.
I'm thinking a top four of Vince, Salt, Milan,
and Stokes.
And probably Bucket and then Duckett and then probably
Bucket.
Bucket. And probably then Stokes at five, maybe.
Well, there's a predicted team here. I don't know who you are. But you've liked it, by the way.
That's is it Jimmy?
Yeah. And it's Phil Salt. I'm not going through first names, actually. Salt, Milan, Vince, Stokes, Bucket.
Yeah.
Lawrence, Gregory, Overton, Kors, Mahmood, Parkinson.
I don't think that'd be far off, to be fair, mate. I'd quite like to see Danny Briggs have a game, but the issue is I'd much rather see Matt Parkinson have a game.
Yeah, I think if Matt Parkinson can't get a game, we know there's something definitely fishy going on somewhere.
Definitely. Obviously, Alex Hales hasn't been picked. Not a shot, because let's be honest, the only other person who said they don't want Hales back in the team, other than Morgan, has been Ben Stokes. I think maybe being involved, Alex Hales being involved in that night in Bristol may have something to do with that, would be my guess. But would you have picked him? I'm assuming this is a stupid question, but...
Yeah, stupid question.
Yeah, you'd be in one too. It does seem bizarre. Obviously, we're going to be playing Pakistan, who aren't mugs by any stretch of the imagination. Got some big names in there, Babar Azam, Mohammad Rizwan, Shaheen Afridi. Do you think that
buffet, it'll mate, be a good series?
3-0 England all day, mate.
I think it'll be exciting. I'm really looking forward to seeing, right, because we actually had a conversation a week last Saturday that I reckoned we could have got out a B team that would be at least competitive in 2020 cricket. So I'm really interested to see if we can field a B team that's competitive in 50 over cricket, because I reckon we will lose but be competitive.
Yeah, I'm looking.
As long as we win the one when we go to, that's fine.
Yeah, exactly. As long as we win next Tuesday at Edgbaston, I'm going to have us to lose 2-1, I would say.
I think we'll get a game.
I think we'll get a game, but I think we'll probably miss out.
3-0.
2.
Pakistan.
Yeah, I think it'll be a good series, much better than obviously Sri Lanka. Player I'm most interested in seeing in terms of Pakistan is Azam Khan, because I think he's the Pakistani
version. Is that the fact?
Yes, it is. I was going to say the Pakistani version of Ash Timchuk.
Pakistani fat boy, go on, son.
Big lad, clearly in that it was in the T10 blast, wasn't it, that he came to fame that we noticed, and a bit of the PSL as well. Big unit. It's a big ball though, and he is quite quick for a big lad.
Who does that?
Force equals mass times acceleration, mate.
Exactly, from the science teacher. That's what I like to hear. So I'll be interested to see him. I think we all expect Babber will probably get quite a few runs when you look at our bowling attack there. And if he doesn't, he's got...
He works against Mahmood and Parkinson, mate.
Let's hope he doesn't, but I think he might do, as will Mohammed Rizwan. I think our squad looks still quite strong batting-wise, but I'm interested to see how they do against people like Shaheen Afridi, because obviously it's a bit of a step up, isn't it, from the players you come across in. Obviously, your T20 Blast, your Royal London One Day Cup. Do you think they'll be up to the task, Jono?
I think, as I say, I think they'll be competitive, but we'll lose.
So, what you're trying to tell me is there'll be lots of 30s and 40s, but not many people getting on to big school.
Yeah, I think that's so. I just don't think we'll quite have enough.
Sounds like our first team, though.
Ah, oh, dear. Looking back at the Sri Lanka series, first of all, was there any point in it?
Yes, because we've lost the last two and needed a win. True, and we're going to lose this one, so...
We needed Super League points. That is a very fair point. But I don't know about you guys, but watching it, yeah, it was good to watch some cricket, but my God, was Sri Lanka shit.
Why didn't we bat first, by the way?
I'm assuming
you watched the England game.
Yeah, well.
But the other one, just go and get some runs, like, get your average up.
Yeah, let people lower down the order, have a bat as well, some cases as well, you would have thought, and put the pressure on the bowlers that they've actually got to do a job, and not just, it's been pretty easy, hasn't it? I mean, what have we made some of the players who've come in? Obviously, William Wokes came back in, swing bowlers, both did pretty well, to say the least, I would say. I think Willie was player of the series again, wasn't he, in the one day,
Willie went round the park, he got wickets, but he went round the park.
Yeah, but got wickets, mate, and that's what mattered, I think, in the end, wasn't it?
If Wokes had played all three, he'd have been man of the series easy.
Yeah, I think Wokes is still the pick of the two for me. I must admit, Sam Curran hooping the ball at times. Fair play to Sam Curran.
Makes things happen.
Does continue to make things happen. He is certainly that man for us. And I feel a bit bad for him, actually, because we keep saying makes things happen, but he isn't just a strike bowler, is he? If you actually look... He opens the bowling regularly. He does the job regularly. He is not just that player that when he first came in, we just lobbed the ball to for a couple of overs because we were desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, he's got a sports mix in his eye. Interesting. But yeah, I think bowling-wise, we look pretty good. Even Tom Curran and Chris Jordan over the series, the last two series, have looked pretty all right. Pretty
bowling
good.
At bums, mate.
But that is the thing that...
Absolute bums.
Sri Lanka were dreadful. Doesn't help when they send home three of the best players. I mean, when you're sending home Dick Waller, Gunafalaka and Kusal Mendes, who are probably your three best players, and you're giving them a year's ban, and you're 13th in the Super League, I aren't holding out much hope that they're qualifying for the next World Cup.
Yeah,
I think they're going to struggle big time. And I didn't realise that they have 21 sort of county sides, state sides. So we have 18, and we have way more people than them. They have 21. They have a similar population to Australia that only has 6. So they reckon that it is literally a case of, like, club cricketers are basically playing professional cricket, first-class cricket in Sri Lanka. And then people are asking, like, why that Dhananjaya, like, why hasn't he had a chance for Sri Lanka before? Well, because he plays against farmers and averages something like 30 with a strike rate of about 60. That's possibly why. So, I think Sri Lankan cricket's in a bit of a shit heap, to say the least. Some positive news this week, some good news. Jimmy Anderson, 1,000 wickets.
What a goat.
You can't class Zach Crawley as one, though, mate, when he's...
I'm sure Jimmy will still count it, mate. I'm sure it'll still go down in the record books. But
the goat.
Yeah. Is it? Are we all in agreement he is the best of all, greatest of all time? I know cricket Twitter loves to mention Dale Steyn and Glenn McGraw and Wazim Akram and Ambrose Walsh.
He's up there, mate. I know that much.
I think just on longevity, he's got to be number one. Some news that I know Jono wasn't a big fan of, Ollie Robinson. He came back from the investigation. They've given him, I think it was an 8-match ban, but 5 of them suspended, 3 matches already served. So he's available straight away.
So you might as well just say you haven't done anything then.
Well, yeah. Basically say we're not doing anything unless it turns out that he's actually said more racist and sexist stuff. I'll be honest, he deserved punishing in some way, but I do still think that it's a bit weird that someone who wasn't a professional cricketer at the time they did it, that was 8 or 9 years ago, is now getting fined. I can understand the fine to an extent, but getting banned from cricket matches for something they did when they didn't play cricket seems a bit
it's
bizarre.
It's the most ECB and England based punishment I've ever seen in my life. We're going to ban him, but we're going to retroactively put it back so that he doesn't not play.
Yeah, a bit of a bizarre one. Some more news at Kate from this week. T20 World Cup is definitely going to be in the UAE. I think that suits England
a lot more than it would in India.
Yeah, definitely. I think that'll be a big positive if, in terms of England's plans, much rather be in the UAE. Suits us better. Probably means that someone like Moeen Ali, who people have been craving for as the second spinner. Is there a need for second spinner? It's a bit debatable, I would say now.
I'd just have Livingston at like 5 or 6 and then just have him if you really need to.
Well, that's it. Livingston's your other option. And just quickly on the T20 and the one-day sides, just one for you that keeps being brought up over the last few days on Twitter. Owen Morgan, do we think he is still earning his place in the squad? Or in the starting 11.
What, in ODI or T20?
Both, based on his cricketing ability.
Well, he did get 60-odd on out his last game. So.
Yeah, won the game, mate. Bad time.
Yeah.
Bad time.
I would for now. Well, I'm guessing he's just going to play this World Cup. Is there actually the ODI World Cup next year?
2023, is it? Isn't there another T20 World Cup next year or something?
Yeah, back-to-back 2020 World Cups.
And then ODI, the 2023.
And then he'll probably retire after that, because surely, if he was going to retire, he wouldn't be playing in something building up to, like, you know, like the squads before
the
ODI World Cup. He'd just say he'd probably retire just after the one we won, wouldn't he? So.
You would think so, mate. You would think so. Yeah, I think he still earns his place just about, but I know it's a bit of talk about the fact that his stats haven't been particularly great for the last 12 to 18 months, but I think that's just the case for quite a few players that are still in there, to be fair. But I'm sure he'll find form when it matters, and I think that's all that matters, really. And last thing I'd got was obviously England versus India, women's. That's sort of come to an end in terms of the one-day series. I think that was 2-1 in the end to England. Pretty comfortable in the two wins. Quite a bit of good cricket, to be fair. And they've now got a T20 series, and Danny Wyatt is back in the team for that. And I think, really, as far as I know, other than obviously the county championship's been back in, Don Bess has done decent. Obviously, Jimmy took that 7 for yesterday, and the blast continues to rumble on. I think that's it, really, for cricketing news, boys.
Well, I actually watched an over of the county championship yesterday, and I saw 2 or 3 wickets.
Bloody hell, who were you watching?
I was scrolling through YouTube, and it came up Lancashire's live stream, and I
you
saw...
You were 70 all out, mate, to be fair, so...
No, it wasn't them batting, mate, it wasn't them batting. It was Lancashire, they were like 50-1, and then...
What's the score
basically
in that game? Because they were 70-odd all out, weren't they?
The last I saw, Lancashire were like 105.
Yeah, I think they were about 80-odd last I saw at tea or something. About 80-odd. But I'd imagine, again, I guess the issue with all this, the COVID issue for England is that teams like Lancashire have just gone and lost Parkinson and Mahmood again. It's probably struggle now with both the Blast and the County Championship for the next.
And to finish the game that they're currently playing.
Well, yeah, exactly. That's it.
I've seen, obviously, like Stokes and people back to... Imagine, like, you just, I don't know, 90-odd not out overnight, and then, oh, you've had the England call, so you're going to have to retire, mate.
Yeah.
Is that what they've got to do?
Yeah, yeah. Will, obviously Will the point Jacks is, and Ben Duckett, I think we're both not out overnight. And have had to retire.
What? Are they going to get replaced?
Yeah, yeah, they've been allowed to bring a COVID sub in.
What a fucking load of wank that is.
Well, England do start Thursday.
Do yeah. we?
Yeah, we start on Thursday.
Who's next Thursday?
No, mate.
Oh, God, that's God. I'd be having none of that.
Stokes,
that.
I think Stokes was next in for Durham, wasn't he, like, overnight? And then.
I feel for Tommy Banton, by the way. They brought him into the squad. He's just got his two biggest scores of the season. He's absolutely twatting. He's everywhere. And a magnificent 100 it was as well, by the way. Pull him into the squad. Don't play him. And now he's got fucking isolated. And he can't play for Somerset anyway. So he's going to miss two blast games and a county championship game. Thanks very much.
I know. George Garton as well, and he didn't even get a game, and he'd be nailed on for a starting place now, but obviously can't because he's isolating because he's been training with him. So,
do we know who the positive cases are?
No, some.
Did someone say Morgan?
I don't. I've seen that. I don't have any idea.
Oh yeah,
and he is eating a Toblerone.
That Toblerone's the same shape as your head, my mate.
A lovely balanced diet of Toblerone, sweets, and a salad for tea.
Wow, fantastic. Right, before we get on to the North staff stuff, as always, we seem to have questions off our friend of the pod, Jim Amis. Basically, his first question is related to what we've just been saying, boys. One, who do we think got a brass in and gave the rest of the squad COVID? Which of them players do you think is most likely to
Tom Curran.
Yeah, I think one of the Currans is quite likely. Tom Curran looks like a footboy. What a quote that's going to be. As per last week, because he asked it about 20 times, is it coming home?
Yeah, but I'm nervous.
Yeah, I'm getting nervous. I wasn't nervous until the
24 hours away. I'm nervous.
What's up?
If England make the final, to watch the final, well, I'm doing it after cricket Saturday, Johnny, after I've had a shower, putting bleach, not bleach, but like the blonde stuff so I look like Foden. I think there's a few of us doing it. Fat Lad's doing it. Deco, Seb, whoever. Ready for the boys.
Who's keeping wicket in this England squad?
Fourth up, maybe.
Ben Duckett. Or, obviously, John Simpson's the proper keeper.
He's the only proper keeper, but surely he's not going to play.
Yeah, I was a bit shocked that James Bracey... I thought Bracey would be in instead of Crawley, and he'd keep and bat in the top three. I thought it's a good way to get Bracey back in without having, obviously, you put him in a big test match against India. Last one from Jim. Was I right to give the umpire a deathly stare after he correctly gave me out court behind? My logic being that he was stood so far back that to hear it hit my glove, it just all seemed a bit suspect.
No, walk off. You're out.
Fair enough. I think that's pretty fair. Right then, we're trying to absolutely hammer our way through this because Jono's got places to be, Dude's got places to be, and I have. So we'll get straight into the North Staffs League, the North Staffs Roundup. Any preferences on who wants to do what job here, or do you want me?
Table man.
You're table man still. Jono, you want to play cricket, man?
I'm results man. Yeah.
That's what I like to hear. Before, I guess while we're waiting for the results load on play cricket, how did we do, boys? Good weekend, bad weekend.
Finish second, mate.
But you finished first on Sunday, boys.
We've got some very good bowlers who hit the stumps on a Sunday.
The boys are 2020 plate final.
Do you know where it's at, by the way?
It's to be drawn, and the provisional date is September the 12th.
Oh no, I am not here.
Very late in the year. I have already passed on the fact that our ground is potentially being used for our big Danny Hughes Cry Memorial Day, and that would also render all of our first team, probably, and second team unavailable. So it is a provisional date. So we will see. The Talbot Cup final is meant to be the week before on the 5th. So I've asked maybe if we could swap them to the 5th.
No, genuinely, Jono, I am actually not here on the 5th. I was joking, but I'm actually not here on the 5th.
Too bad. Fuck you.
It's got to be after the 28th, because the 28th is Sorry, the 29th. The 29th is the final.
I'm full check, but I think I'm in Krakow on that Sunday.
The 29th of 29th of August is the final of the big T20, the Prem and Division One. And we have to play the winner. So the winner of our game plays the winner of the 2020, the other 2020. So you have to wait till that finishes first and then play your final.
Yeah, I'm away on the 5th, so do the 12th or the 19th.
The 19th after the season's finished, mate. So
Yeah, that's fine.
So you had a good Sunday anyway, boys. Good bowl off anyway.
We had a great Sunday. Shout out to people who wanted to keep us there till 7:10. I won't comment too much on that. But
oh, mate, he was an angry man.
I was proper ticking. I mean, I'm all for waiting if I think it's possible. But when you've been there since 10 o'clock, and I don't mean that. We've been there since, like, other people were there from 10 o'clock as well. Been there from 10 o'clock. We've been on, off. And you've got a pitch, which, in my opinion, clearly wasn't fit. Why anyone would then want to wait a further 2 hours to then potentially just have a bowl off anyway did not make any sense, in my opinion.
Me and Jono had a great day. Jono didn't bat or didn't
I
bowl.
I did not bowl and just tried to... I captained my way through five overs. And then
you caught a catch?
I did. I caught a skyer.
I was meant to be three in an eight-over game and then didn't bat because...
Didn't get in.
Ball. And then... Jono decided to bowl me about seventh change in an eight-over game and bowl one over.
To be fair, people could only have like one over, so I was saving him for the back end. I just might have done my maths wrong. I might have done my maths wrong and prevented him from having two.
And the first ball bowl someone. Suck him.
Wow. But you did well on
the bowl off, though, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was nervous.
The bowl off. Didn't want to, but he was absolutely pegging not to bowl in the bowl off.
Well, it doesn't help people watching going, like, on your side, going to say, you are going to miss both. I was like, cheers, mate.
the Silverdale lads who weren't even taking part made it a good crack because they got a speaker out and we had some music and it was good fun.
I couldn't imagine doing a penalty shootout in, like, a Euro final or anything like that.
No.
Just in front of about 50 people at Silverdale is bad enough.
I didn't even bowl and I was breaking it. Shout out to Balson, though, because at least they also wanted a bowl off, so we were in complete agreement, so that was fine. Ironically, the only person who didn't hit the stumps from our team was the pro.
Mate, he was trying to rag it square and he was like going away.
It was on a piss wet net. He tried bowl left arm off spin.
What a play.
Just missed. Yeah, we had a good Sunday. Good Sunday.
Go on then, Jono. Run through us the Saturday results, mate.
Oh, Saturday results, right. Big result in the Prem then. Bagnall Norton absolutely hammered Cheadle, bowled them all out for 167, knocked them off for one. That's a very, very, very good and big result for Bagnall. Shared the wickets round, really. But then the run chase. Josh Cartledge with 76 and Akhtar Sahib with 59.
Shoaib Akhtar, I don't know why his name's the wrong way around.
Why is his name the wrong way around?
I noticed that earlier.
Is that young lad, by the way? Really about 19?
I think he might be early 20s now, but yeah, he is still young lad.
Yeah, I've heard a bit about him. Might be a good player. Never come across him, never played against him.
Did my coaching course with him. Lovely lad. Very, very technically good.
But yeah, see, he scored a few runs, batting three in the Prem. 59. Josh Cartledge has got some runs as well, having not played for a while, so that's it's big. Checkley put a bit of a hurting on Ashcombe Park, if I'm honest. Checkley racked up 240, 106 for James Kettlebrew, well batted that man. And Ashcombe Park could only make their way to 163 for 8, which wasn't a bad fist of it. Mahars Ahmed with 51, and then not much else. 33 extras bowled well. But yeah, Ashcombe Park struggling, but I'm sure Aid will get to that. Good game at Meekins, 196, plays 197 for 9. Good game, won by a wicket, did Stone. 38 over match, I believe, from what I've been told, because of a bit of rain. Meekins got 196, Sam Moores with 40-odd, Michael Hill with 60-odd, Welsh with 34, Jack Hammond with 25, and Paul Byrne chipping in with 20. Wicket shared round for Stone, and then in the run chase, Stone knocked him off with, what did they knock him off with? The last ball, I believe it was. Yeah, the last ball. Sam Graham with 100. Exactly. Well batted, that man, off 107 balls as well. EJ Laverty with 28, a very quick 28. And Jacob Dead with a very, very important 22 at the end. So that is a top, top run chase and a big win, really, for Stone, that. Longton, 177 all out, ran out 35 run winners against Modishull. Tom Hope chipped in with 38. Ed Jones with 31 for Longton. Four wickets for Tom Spruce. Modishull just couldn't really get going, to be honest. Pro got 35, scored some runs last few weeks, but other than 33 from Rob Spruce, nothing much else to write home about for Modishull. Required a big innings from someone. And then a good result for Burslem at the bottom there. 162 all out, but Ball Portail out, the champions, for 129. 43 from Callum Harrison towards the end. Well batted, Rhodesy, by the way.
I was wondering if you were going to mention that.
Yeah, saw him on Sunday. Looked a very well man. That's his first duck, I believe, of the season.
And also kept wicket.
And kept wicket with pitcher and Sentinel. Yeah, might
add. Big Nev Southall, go on, son.
Portail, no one really got going for Portail. 33 for Tom Mason, but other than that, no one could really bring it home for him. Four wickets for Ashaw, 452, three for Zen Malik as well. Good result for Burslem. And Whitmore picked up another win by seven runs. Bit of squeaky bum. 161 all out Whitmore, 43 overs. Leek could only muster 154 in response. 31 for Jack Beach. And four wickets for Ryan Ball, four for 24 from nine. Well bowled, that man. Leek, however, 52 for Alex Mallet. But other than that, lots of single figure scores. 35 extras in that as well, by the way. So other than Alex Mallet and the extras.
Not much.
And that concludes the Prem. Table lull for the Prem.
Hang on, mate. I've just made myself laugh because looking at you in that suit reminds me of you being on like Soccer Saturday reading all these results out. Big Jeff Stelling.
Cambridge United 1. Peterborough United 2. Audley CC first 11, 207 for 6. Sandyford 97 all out.
Oh my god, we need to do this. Next one. You've got to do it. Okay. But Meekins are top of the league at the halfway mark.
No way, man.
They are, man. Closely followed, 2 points behind are Stone. And then Longton just behind them. And yeah, we know who's at the bottom. We don't need to keep mentioning that, do we?
Well, can I just mention a story about Ashcombe Park?
Went to
watch Worcestershire against Derbyshire last Friday night. Ross Whiteley was playing. Alex Thompson was only on the bench for Derbyshire, but clearly he got tickets for a good dozen or so of his league mates, who were extremely pissed. Spent the whole night abusing Ross Whiteley, which Ross Whiteley found hilarious. I mean, he smashed about 37 off about 18 balls, and they still gave him shitloads. They were continuously singing Ashcombe are going down throughout the night. They also asked Ed Barnard to give him a wave, and he refused. So they then started singing It Was a Virgin. So that good little Friday night's entertainment that was. And I believe Ashcombe weren't too impressed when they saw videos of some of the songs being sung by the Leek lads.
Oh, no.
Ah.
But yes, Ashcombe are bottom.
Yes, so they are bottom.
Whitmore are second bottom, but have one more 20
points taken off, haven't they?
So actually, playing wise, they're not doing too bad. And even though Leek are singing they're going down, on about Ashcombe going down, Leek are only 10 points above Whitmore and would be in the bottom two if they hadn't had a points reduction. Just to, you know, wind Leek lads up.
We just do it out there, by the way. Meekins are top, and they were like literally bottom after what, 4 or 5 weeks. Same for Port Hill. They were basically bottom and second bottom, weren't they?
Yeah.
So it just shows how quickly it can turn around. And they lost on Saturday as well.
Time for the mighty Div 1.
Div 1, right. John Audley, Sandyford. Eccleshall Cricket Club, 111 for 6. Elwith, 109 all out. Leeside, 115 all out. Hen Heath, 119 for 3. Newcastle and Hart Hill, 70 all out. Nipersley, 73 for 4. Wood Lane CC, 207 all out. Little Stoke, 138 all out. And thus concludes Division 1.
Do you want to go through some of the stats?
No, not really. Not much.
A few players got a few runs, a few players got a few wickets, and some lads got
some. Yeah, some lads got some runs, some got some wickets. Ollie Wild got 53 for Audley. Jamie Jarve got 40. In terms of wickets, can't remember who got Audley's wickets. Audley's wickets were Ben Mallow with 3 for 16 off 6. Well done. Keep it in the village, pal. Well done, you. Other than that, there's quite a few low scores knocking about, to be honest with you. Wood Lane, Little Stoke, battle at the bottom. It's pushed Wood Lane up quite a bit, I believe.
Also, did Blythe not play, by the way?
Blythe did not play against Endon due to
COVID,
and I believe they are playing a double header one weekend.
Yes, so I was told by Mr. T. Degg on Sunday.
Who we saw on Sunday, and I can confirm to all listeners of the pod, that is the largest head I've ever seen on a human being.
He actually finished a pint as well, which was...
Yeah, saw him finish a pint. I was there from 10 o'clock until about 7 o'clock, but I can confirm to all listeners and followers of the Carling Cup that I did see him finish at least one, but I was there for 9 hours. So I'll...
And he did. He also said to me when I was leaving, don't mention me on this week's, but...
Yeah, don't mention me on the pod. So cheers to... Thanks very much, mate.
So are you going through any other... players getting runs, wickets, and probably extras outscoring everyone?
No, not really.
I'll give a quick mention to one person just because he is a big fan of the pod. I believe that Rob Price got a 7 for.
Oh, no.
And can confirm that it was. Where is it now? Oops, I'm on the game. I'm on the wrong scorecard, though. Can confirm it was 7 for 45 off 8.5.
Close figures, a lot.
I'll ball that man.
Three wides though, and he sort that out.
Always room for improvement with the teacher, isn't there, mate?
Yeah, an economy of 5.09 just won't cut it, really.
So at the top are Emmy still, closely followed by Alworth, and then 20 points behind them in third are Eccleshall. So them two have got a bit of a gap at the top. And then the boys, Little Stoke, are still struggling without a win. It's going to come at some point.
Maybe.
Maybe next season, but it's going to come at some
point. It must
maybe
come.
In Div 2.
Probably against us, yeah. and then Blythe, Mr. Degg's team, are in the bottom two, but have a game in hand on Sandyford, who are 1 point above them. So you hope you could get 1 or 2 points, which would take you back out of the bottom two. And as John has said, Wood Lane have managed to push themselves a bit further up the table.
Hemi haven't lost, by the way.
Still. No.
Impressive, lad.
Still.
Impressive. Yeah. Right, Div 2 time.
Div 2 time.
Oh, no.
Right, the boys finished second on Saturday. Port Hill got 211, which was way too many. It would help not dropping Ben Warrender, who ended up with 50.
Oh, you dropped Ben Warrender?
That would be me.
Oh, yes. Now he's mentioned it. We need to mention this, by the way.
And I talk through it. You don't need to mention it, mate. I'll talk through it. Okay, you crack on.
I was there in spirit on Saturday, mate. I didn't realise my arms were connected to my body at one point. But I did remember. I was half asleep as well, but I managed to see one of the funniest things I've seen on a pitch. So Jono is in the ring, as he always says, because he's, you know, skipper and all that. And then because Chantal had turned up, he had put himself on the boundary. The ball's gone off. Jono's ran in to try and catch it, mate. And he has slipped on his ass. And at one point, he's trying to catch the ball lying flat on the floor. And the ball looked like it was about to hit him in the face. Oh, mate, it was absolutely brilliant.
Oh, Jono.
Yeah, can confirm that it's just a bit of a wet outfield, but that wasn't the cause of my slip. I was fully concentrating, by the way. However, I was always intending to slide, but I slid. I tripped, like I literally tripped over my own feet. And then thought, all right, fuck this. I'll just start my slide a bit earlier than I originally intended, and it'll be fine. and then realised that it was still wet enough that I just went and kept going and going and going. And basically, I don't know if anyone can remember it, Sol Campbell against Croatia in the rain, where he slid and just kept going. But it was basically one of those scenarios where I tripped and slid, but I was going with so much momentum that I just slid and slid and slid and ended up going completely under it, and it nearly hit me in the face.
Might
have gone for four as well.
Oh dear.
We just needed someone go a bit bigger, didn't we, in the run chase as well? If we what were we, 60 short?
Yeah,
65.
Yeah, we just needed someone go big. How many people got 20 or 30? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, we had 3 people get 20 or 30. 4 people got double figures. We just needed one of them to just go a bit bigger, and myself included, stick with someone. Shame, really.
Yeah, you're both 4 wides.
Oh dear, you were.
I can't remember them 4 wides, but I suppose they're both 4 wides.
I've got to give special mention to Caverswall and Barlaston, who had a double super over day on Saturday. They finished tied on 188. Then they had a super over, which Barlaston looked like they were pissing, and someone hit, I think it was either a 4 and a 6 or 2 sixes off the last 2 balls.
I think it was 2 sixes.
To tie the bowl off, to tie the super over. And then they had another super over, and Caswell won quite comfortably, I believe. Norton and Ailes hammered All Sager 78 all out. Norton and Ailes knocked him off. Shot result of the day, really, was Road Park beating Oakmore quite comfortably. Oakmore smashing all out. Road Park knock him off for none. Sandbach lost the first game of the season against Silverdale. 160 all out with Sandbach. Silverdale knocked them off for 7. And Meerith picked up another win against Stafford. Stafford were 137 all out, and Meerith knocked them off. Meerith batted first, 166. Stafford could only muster 137.
Table time.
Oh, is that all the results? You're doing very well at this, John. Are you smashing through these?
He is absolutely smashing them.
Norton and then Wales are top, with Sandbach closely in second. Portail seconds have gone up to third. Seems. Did they lose the first 4?
They were struggling for the first 5 or 6, weren't they, I think, really?
Well, they've won 6 and lost 4 and had one abandoned, so I genuinely think they might have won, like, apart from the standing team, the last 6.
Exactly 7 or something like that.
Yeah.
And then Meerith are bottom, Stafford second bottom, and then Road Park third bottom, and then the boys fourth bottom. Oh, no. We're a Sunday side, mate. We're a Sunday side.
Well, great Sunday side, yeah.
But there is quite close, probably from Barlaston fourth.
We are literally like a win and a half away from like fourth or fifth, aren't we? So it's all very tight.
But getting that win has seemed to be the issue with the men.
Difficult task.
Right, Div 3. Cheadle second team racked up 210. Well done to them. Who got them?
Ben Degg got 46. Shout out to Ben Degg.
Well done, Ben. Jack Bullock got 52. Extras got 20 odd. All the seconds were 137 all out. What was I saying? No, I can't remember what I was going to say then. Knocked my results off. Crew were 74 all out against Hanford. Hanford knocked them off for 6. Emmy seconds racked up 202 and Bold checked out for 107. Modishall seconds were 152 all out. Extra knocked them off for 7. Stone seconds chased down 195 against Meeking seconds, which were great results, beating Meeking seconds. Meeking seconds 195 all out. A few people chipped in there. And then Stone, Liam Hickey, Rich Harvey, still nudging a needle in his way. Keep it in the work trust, still nudging his needle in his way to 75 to pretty much bring them home, which was good result for them. And then the boys, the Wedges, were 103 all out, and one of them knocked them off.
From
4.
We were 70 for 3 and ended up 103 all out as well.
75 for 3.
Was it even 75?
Oh, dear. It was 75 for 3, 79 for 5, 90 for 6, 93 for 7, 103 for 8, 103 for 9, and 103 all out.
Wow.
So you've got plenty of runs between them?
Yeah. Not often has the last 12 balls and doesn't manage to get off the mark. Claiming he's diabetic, isn't he, dude?
Yeah, basically saying he can't see. Now he's had a test and he could be diabetic.
Haroon Khan had a good day anyway.
Yeah, he's come back from Pakistan after months of having to stay over there because of red list. Does all his quarantining, comes back. I believe he was quite knackered on Thursday night in the Phoenix League match and was struggling there. And then was it a golden as captain on him Saturday, having been back in the country for about a week or so, 2 weeks.
Can confirm.
What a day.
What a day.
Josh Clayton against his former squad, chipping in with 1 for 27.
Yeah.
There was no Mither.
No, there wasn't. I'm told he was very, very well behaved, which is always good to hear. Good old Clates. I know the boys will be right pissed because we didn't do a podcast last week and we actually won a game last week. So
basically, your podcast is the reason why you're
boys. Yeah, fuck it.
Can we use that as an excuse for why we aren't as well?
Yeah, if you want to, mate.
Cancel the pod.
Yeah. Table dude, dare I ask?
We won't mention where you boys are just yet, but... Meeking's seconds are top, 159 points. Longton seconds are joint. Oh my god, the joint with two teams. So technically in second on here it says Longton 150 points, but then Modern Alton seconds and Stone seconds are all 150 points. And then in fifth, only 3 points behind second, or Cheadle seconds. But the boys are, just outside the bottom two by 7 points to Emmy 2's on 90 points and Audley 2's on 83 points.
Fair enough. Right, John, who's had to leave us, so me and you will finish off quickly, dude. We'll try and rattle through. Star of the weekend. I'm going to put a few people forward. James Cattleborough. 106, not out of 62 balls. I think he's guaranteed to be in there. Rob Price, 2-7 for. I think he's guaranteed to be in there. Sam Graham hit a ton. I think we've got Sam Graham in. That's three. And then we've got one left. Now, I've got two names down for the last one. I've got Alex McChristie for the third week in a row. I've got him down as getting a 3-for and hitting 58. Silverdale beat Sambach, who obviously Sambach has been doing really well. And then the other option was Fida Hussein for Ecclesall, who got 3-for against Alworth again, who were doing really well, and a 34 not out to get him over the line. So ooh, who's going to be the fourth one? Are we going for Fida or are we going for Mr. McChristie?
We'll go for Mr. McChristie, I think.
Third time lucky for him. I hate to tell him, I think Cattleborough and Price and probably Sam Graham will all finish above him, but he'll be the first person, and maybe possibly the last ever person, to be up for Star of the Weekend 3 weeks in a row.
Fair play, isn't there? Player of the Month.
We can look at that for July, mate. I'm sure we can.
It won't be me. Actually, I got 3-for. I did get 3-for.
You did get 3-for. I was going to mention that as well, and Jono just blazed past it. Obviously, another weekend of cricket ahead. Win, lose, draw cricket now for the top four divisions. So it goes up to, is it 45 overs, back to whites.
Is it still 9 overs a bowler?
9 overs a bowler, I believe, but I'm not 100% sure.
Right.
So are you looking forward to the win, going to win, lose, draw? Or would you wish it was staying at, or just win, lose, my mate?
An extra 10 overs in a game and then a draw. Oh, no. Well, we might do better. So
yeah, you might pick up more points, mate. You never know.
What's the crack of the points?
I don't actually know, mate, to be honest with you, because I just still play win lose because I'm in.
There's a thing at the moment, maximum of 18 for a win. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Well, surely now if you go, we'll make it 25 for a win. Will that not be a bit like unfair? Say if someone's won 6 in a row, like say Portal Seconds won 6 in a row. If they like now just go on a couple of bad games and say someone like us win 2 or 3, we could go above them, even though they've won probably 2 or 3 more games.
True, but I think the argument would be is it's harder to win a game of win, lose, draw cricket because people can play out for the draw.
True.
But I don't know exactly what the points are, to be honest, because as I say,
I don't
win, lose.
To be honest.
So obviously it goes win, lose, draw. So we've had a suggestion from Mr. Steve Brearley. He likes the predictions, but he wants us to keep some sort of form of league table on the predictions to see who's the best at it. So what we're going to do from now on is we're going to go to just doing the Prem ones. We will have to give a prediction on whether it's going to be obviously a winning team or a draw.
This is going to be interesting.
And for bonus points, in fact, we'll do that first. We'll go through the six fixtures, got to pick whether it's going to be obviously who's going to win, or if not, it'll be a draw. We'll work it out somehow. And then we'll do some bonus points at the end. I want listeners to send in their predictions as well. I'll make up a spreadsheet. I'll add their predictions in against ours, and we'll see each week who gets the most points. And then
is
see at the end of the year.
Expert pundit now.
Well, apparently. So, Ashcombe versus Stone. What are you going?
Well, second against bottom. Stone win.
Stone win. I'm going to agree the same. Stone to win. Bagnall versus Leek.
Both on the same points. A draw.
Are you going to get... Do we want to go to the detail of saying winning draw for a certain team? No, we'll just go draw then. Okay, draw. I'm going to go draw as well, actually. Checkley versus Burslem.
I think Checkley batted him for the first time. But Burslem a decent side. Burslem.
I'm going to go draw. I'm going to go. It'll be a winning draw as well, I would say, for Checkley. But I'm going to go draw. Longton versus Cheadle.
See, Longton were very good at the win-lose, but I don't know about. Draw.
I'm going to go for. Am I going to go for it? I'm going to go for Cheadle. Cheadle win.
What?
Port Hill versus Modishall.
I'm going to go Port Hill.
I'm going to agree with Port Hill as well. And then last but not least, Whitmore versus Meekins.
See, Whitmore aren't that too bad of a side. It seems to be your second bottom. Because they've won more than they've lost.
Well, yeah.
I think, generally, Meekins have only won one more game than Whitmore, who are second bottom.
God.
Whitmore.
Ooh, Whitmore. I'm going to go Meekins. I'm going to go against
you. Yeah, why I've just said that.
Yeah. So we'll award 1 point for each of them. So obviously a max of 6 points there. And then going to do two bonus points. You've got to pick the game that is going to have the most runs scored in it and the game that's going to have the least runs scored in it. I'm going to go least runs scored at Ashcombe versus Stone.
Depends who bats first, I reckon.
Well, this is the question, isn't it, see? So you got to take a bit of a gamble. And I'm going to go most runs scored at Longton versus Cheadle.
Where is Checkley Burslem at?
Checkley.
Oh, fuck. No, I'm going Port Hill, Modishall and Alton, lowest runs.
Right, and most runs?
Port Hill seem to be doing well with the ball, from what I can remember.
What you can remember.
And what am I going, most runs? Fucking hell. Who've Meekins got?
Whitmore.
Yeah, runs.
Runs there, fair enough. So, people at home, send us in your predictions, send us in what you think the six results will be, which game you think will have most runs, which will have the least runs. We'll keep a track, we'll see who ends up being the winner at the end of the season. I'm sure we can maybe sort out a little prize for whoever does win.
I'll definitely be bottom.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing great on it either. But I think that's us done for North Staffs for this week. And I think, unless there's something else I've missed, dude, that's us done for the week, is it not?
I think it is, mate.
So, obviously, cheers to everyone who continues to listen. Obviously, we apologise for missing one last week, but, you know, we don't actually earn any money for doing this. It's just a hobby. So, yeah, dude was pissed. Jono was ill. I just didn't want bore you all, so... Too bad. But please follow us, subscribe to us, review us, as always, share us around. Try and get as many people in local cricket involved as well as people around the globe, because obviously we're trying to talk about both North Staffs and everything that's going on around the world as well. Make sure you go and give our supporters Woodstock a look, have a little look at what they've got on offer. Use our discount code FIRBAN25, treat yourself, get yourself some new gear. Cardiac Risk and the Young are our charity partners. We're continuing to try and raise money for them. So buy yourself a bat sticker. We'll get it to you. Stick it on your bat. Raise a bit of awareness for a great charity as well as raising money for them. And we'll be back next week. Me and Dude are going to cricket on Tuesday. So I'm sure probably it'll be back to the normal Wednesday, to be fair, because I've got a feeling me and you will be in too much of a state and also in a hotel in, well, probably not even a hotel, probably in pubs in Birmingham.
Anything this time next week as well, mate. I might not even be back Wednesday.
Well, true. But we'll see how we do. But yeah, we're hoping to be back. We're hoping we might have someone join us next week to talk a little bit about the 100 as well, because that starts in just, well, I think it is 2 weeks tomorrow, is it? Something like that. Something along those lines. So yeah, we'll be back next week. We promise to not be dying from COVID or pissed up too much. And we'll be back then.
Either of the two.
Well, aid card, no. I'll promise that I will be here in some form, hopefully, maybe. Right, have a good weekend. Make sure you score some runs and take some wickets, whichever you need. Go well, and we'll see you soon. Cheers.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky. With so many options to choose from, how do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.